Turn with me, please, to Mark 9, verses 19 to 27. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead. So that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Jesus Christ hears the father's story and commands the boy be brought to him. When he arrives, the demon in the child recognizes Jesus and attacks the boy again. The child is gripped by convulsions. And he wallows on the ground, foaming at the mouth. What a pitiful scene this is. As the child writhes on the ground in pain, Jesus begins to question his father. Jesus Christ is attempting to overcome this man's lack of faith. Jesus asks him about how long the child has been this way. The father's answer is graphic and telling. He tells Jesus that things have been this way since the boy was little. He also tells Jesus that the demon has attacked the boy repeatedly, trying to even burn him to death, as we see in verse 22 of Mark 9. He's often thrown him into the fire, into the water to destroy him. What an unbelievable scene. And then the father bears the true condition of his faith. He looks at Jesus Christ and he says, But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. A pitiful plea. And also a plea from a faithless man. From a faithless man. He says, If you can. If you can do anything. Why do I say the man was faithless? Because this father had trusted the disciples of Jesus Christ to heal his son. And when they had found his faith in the disciples, in Christ's abilities, was shattered. In verse 17 of Mark 9, it says this, Then one of the crowd answered him and said, Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. This father had brought the son, believing Jesus could deliver him. Now this father's faith has been reduced to, If thou can do anything. If you can do anything. When Jesus hears this man's words, he responds immediately. The force of the Lord's words in verse 23 does not really come through in our English Bibles. I don't know if you know it or not, but the punctuation was not there in the original. Here is what Jesus is saying. Look at verse 23. In the English Bible it says, Jesus said to him, If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. In the original, this is what it is saying. What do you mean if thou can? Believe. All things are possible to him that believe. what do you mean? Is a lot stronger than if. What do you mean? How often we come to Christ the same way? What do you mean? Christ would say of us, what do you mean? If thou can. Of course he can. All things are possible to him that believes. Jesus Christ rebukes the Father for his doubt and commands him to place his faith in Jesus Christ for the healing his son desperately needs. And when the Father hears this, he makes one of the most honest and transparent prayers in the entire Bible. You need to be honest with the Lord, transparent in your prayers. He's omniscient. He knows everything about you. Be honest and transparent as this man was. He looks at Jesus Christ, the Father in the text, looks at Jesus Christ and says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. He's saying, Lord, I believe in you and in your power, but my faith is weak. Help me to grow in my faith. My faith is weak. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So often, we doubt. Every day, we doubt the Lord about something. Somewhere along the line, every day, we doubt what the Scripture says, who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ. And the proof of that is the simple fact that you sin every day. You wrestle with sinning every day. It wouldn't be a wrestling, a battle with sinning every day if you simply believe what the Scripture said, that you're dead to sin. So if the Scripture says you're dead to sin and yet you're involved in sin every day, what is that? It's unbelief. You don't believe. The Scripture says you're dead to sin. But yet you find yourself in sin all the time. What's going on? It's unbelief. But this man's being honest. He's being transparent. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe in you, Lord. I believe in your power. But my faith is weak. Help me. Help me, Lord, to grow in my faith. After this man says this, Jesus commands the spirit to leave the boy and to never return. The demon attacks the child one more time and comes out. The child becomes so quiet and so still that the onlookers assume that the child is dead. Then Jesus does what he does best. You see the compassion of Christ. The compassion of Christ in verse 27. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. That's the same that he does with us. Takes us by the hand, lifts us up, and we arise. What compassion. What compassion. Let us look at a few lessons that we can glean here. First of all, a powerless church or individual portrays Jesus Christ in a bad light. Portrays Christ in a bad light because the disciples lacked power. The Father assumed that Jesus Christ also lacked power. The same is true not only individually, but around the house of God. This was disciples gathered together. That's the church gathered together. The same is true today. When a lost world walks into a church building and sees its deadness, its coldness, its apathy, or in an individual's life, not only a church building, but those around you that know that you are a professing Christian, they'll see the deadness, see the coldness, see the apathy, and the lost, and the lost assume that Jesus Christ is just as lifeless, just as powerless, and just as dead. Basically, most churches and most Christians are guilty of false advertising. They claim to have something to offer the world, but in reality, many have nothing to offer but cold, dead religion that helps no one. It's time for the individuals and churches. It's time that we told the truth about Jesus Christ. He changes lives. Knowing him is exciting. His church is to be alive and active in the world. His gospel has power. The gospel of Jesus Christ has power to change lives. We should never be guilty of false advertisement. We need to live up what's supposedly written on our sign. Guilty of false advertisement. It must be true of us, of the church. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. We have been justified. We're to live by faith. That faith comes through the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God. Where is the power? Where is the power in your life? Also, realize this. First of all, the church is not to portray Jesus Christ in a bad light. You are the light of the world. We're to behave that way, and we're to act that way, not to be guilty of false advertising. Secondly, realize this, weak faith is better than no faith at all. This father was filled with doubt, but there was still a kernel of faith in his heart. As a result, he got what he desired from the Lord. God is not put off by our doubts. He calls us to repent and to believe. But total unbelief slams the door on his power in our lives. Do you believe? Is there a kernel of belief? Is there a kernel of faith? We need to remember that it isn't large faith that receives big answers from the Lord. It isn't the size of your faith. It's the size of your God. Not the size of your faith, the size of your God. You can have large faith in a little God, or you can have little faith in a big God. And the scripture clearly betrays God as a big God, an omnipotent God, an omniscient God, omnipresent God, a sovereign God, a majestic God, an immutable God. His attributes go on and on and on. As I said, you can have small faith in a big God, or you can have large faith in a small God. But you need a genuine faith. You need simply genuine faith that moves in great power. Look at Matthew 17, verse 20. It's still true today, the scripture. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Small faith, big God. So we saw we're not to be false advertisers portraying Christ in a bad light, as the disciples did by not being able to heal the young man. Secondly, we're to remember that weak faith is better than no faith at all. And lastly, we'll look in the study today that Jesus is still in the lifting up business. As I brought out a moment ago, he took the child by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Took him up, lifted him up, and he arose. And Christ is the same today. Just as Jesus Christ took this poor dead boy by the hand, lifted him up into new life, Jesus can do the same for all who come to him by faith. He can still do the same today, just as that boy seemed to be dead. He was as dead. Christ, even today, will take you if you are dead in your sins and trespasses. And he will take you if you simply repent and believe in him today. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 would be said of you even today. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That old man will be dead. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. You who are burdened and weighed down and have not known nothing but pain, heartache, and one disaster after another all your life, would that not be a great thing? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You talk about good news. Behold, all things have become new. And simply by repentance and belief, Christ will lift you up out of your sins and bring you into new life. Also, he can lift that cold, apathetic church member out of his or her complacency and into a new life of blessing and joy. You who have sat up in the church for years, apathetic, cold, lifeless, sitting in the church, it would be said of you, even as in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him, dine with him, and he with me. Christ, you who confess Christ, you who say you possess Christ, behold, he stands at the door and he's knocking. You're a child of God, but you're apathetic. You're not in fellowship with him. You're chasing after this world, the things of the world. Christ would be standing at the door today, knocking. And by a simple faith, even a small faith, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, this is someone that has faith already. This is not somebody with no faith. This is somebody with small faith. Somebody in the church possessing, saying they possess Christ, professing to know Christ. Simply open the door. I'll come into him, dine with him. Your life will be different. It'll be full of joy. It'll be full of blessing. You'll no longer be apathetic. You'll love Christ. Christ will be the great treasure in your life. He will be everything to you. Christ is in the lifting up business. If you don't know Christ, come. If you do know Christ, but you're out of fellowship, come, open the door. Also, he can lift the burdened believer out of his fears and give you a peace that passes all understanding. You need peace today. Christ will give you peace today. Simply by faith. Simply by faith, believe Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 to be true. Now this is, once again, Simple faith, small faith, but a big God. Be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 in closing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Simple faith, little faith. It only takes little faith to come to the Lord in prayer and supplication. It only takes little faith to give Him thanksgiving. Little faith to make your request be made known to God. And the peace of God. See, now all of a sudden that simple faith, you got a big God, the peace of God. The peace of God. Peace comes from God. It surpasses all understanding. It'll guard your heart. It'll guard your mind through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. This world takes a handful of pills, a bottle of liquor, a relationship, money, every other thing in this they could think of for some peace. There's people filling psychiatrists, offices, psychologists, every kind of Dr. Phil, Dr. So-and-so, doctor, just trying to get some peace of mind. And the Lord says, He's in the lifting up business. The Lord says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, simply by coming to Him and praying and making your supplications known to Him, that He'll give you faith, that He'll give you peace. As I said, Christ is still in the lifting up business. He took the boy by the hand, He lifted him up, and that child arose. And it is the same for everyone today. If you're lost, come to Christ. If you had a fellowship, come to Christ. If you know Christ and you're heavy burdened, come to Christ. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose.